Antony and Cleopatra were rivals. Octavian, at this point, controlled the Western Empire, Gaul, which is now France, Italy, Spain, and so forth, and Antony and Cleopatra controlled the East, Greece, Egypt, Turkey, the Near East, and so forth. There was a giant propaganda campaign being waged in terms which will be familiar to us. This is gender and ethnic stereotyping of a kind which sadly is still very familiar. Antony's liaison with Cleopatra, the queen of Egypt, was portrayed in terms like this. Can you, Romans, stand the prospect of being ruled not only by a woman, but by an Egyptian woman, a master of seduction and deceit, who has emasculated the good Roman Antony? Can you stand to have the effeminate East, the East which is the land of over-intellectualization, of luxury, of unmanliness in all of its guises? Can you stand the thought of that taking over Rome? Can you stand the thought of our own good gods being replaced by the barking, dog-headed gods and bird-headed gods of the Egyptians? Can you stand it? No. The victory of Octavian, who became Augustus Caesar and founded the empire, put an end to two generations of civil war and turmoil. Civil war, which in Virgil's youth had resulted in his family farm being confiscated to give to the victorious veteran soldiers of one side during the conflicts. Rome had been in turmoil for 60-odd years. Virgil starts writing the Aeneid 2 years after Augustus takes over. Augustus, in founding the empire, did not say, "I'm founding an empire." He said, "Finally, thank goodness, we're over this. I am going to return Rome to the old good ways after all this turmoil." I think sincerely on the whole, he did try to do that. And he ruled with great success for 45 years. But Virgil couldn't know that at the beginning of Augustus's reign, or as we say of an emperor, his imperium. He is writing the Aeneid in large part to celebrate those good old Roman ways and to suggest implicitly, though constantly, a parallel between Aeneas, the founder of Rome, and Octavian slash Augustus, the renovator, the person overseeing the birth of Rome the way it should be. That mission statement I read earlier on, delivered by the shade of his father to Aeneas in the underworld, is not only a statement about the past, but it is even more directly and powerfully a statement of hope, and Virgil hopes a guiding statement of hope for what Rome should be like and can be like in the future. To encapsulate it in the clearest terms I know, there is a sense, and an important sense, in which the real hero of the Aeneid is not Aeneas, but Augustus. In the figure of Aeneas, then, Virgil celebrates not only the triumph of Augustus and his hopes for Augustus, but a vision of what heroism, what ideal behavior is and is about, which is in pointed contrast to the vision evoked by Homer, and even the vision discussed more or less explicitly by Plato and Aristotle. In our next lecture, we'll go on to talk about some of the other issues which, in the Aeneid, Virgil confronts, and go on to talk about a poet who was much less in Augustus's favor, who, rather being under Augustus's patronage, was finally exiled by Augustus to what, so far as he was concerned, was the absolute edge of nowhere, a little town on the Black Sea. And that is the subversive, witty, urbane, and profane Roman author Ovid.
This ends Lecture 10. Remember to visit this course's webpage at www.modernscholar.com, where you'll find additional information about the lectures you just heard.